Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
That was a mistake.
What?
I shouldn't have done it. Hey, you're listening live from the Path. I was preparing, right? Like, I'm getting ready to say, hey, you're listening live from the Path.
And you sniffed.
And then I did one of these. I go, like, I was preparing to do it. It's totally unprofessional.
That was a terrible decision.
All right. Well, anyway. You're listening live from the Path. Thanks for joining us here on this beautiful evening.
Yeah.
What? What?
I'm still taken aback by the sniff the microphone.
It was a mistake.
You are a professional talk show host.
A man can make
mistakes.
Yeah,
that was a bit of a stretch, but whatever.
I'm a podcaster.
That's right.
That's your new intro now. You are literally stuck with, welcome to Live from the Path.
They give anybody the internet.
Sniff, sniff, Live from the Path.
That's the deal.
Good.
They hook up the internet for everybody, and I'm a benefactor of that. All right, here's the deal. Decision. You're listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate it for you guys hanging out on the net. And please jump on the chat so we can interact with you. For those of you guys on 99.3 KTAA, there is no chat available. Please do not text and drive or otherwise cause trouble. They'll pull us off the air. You do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Try to behave yourselves. Here's what we got going on tonight. Chandra Knudsen is in the studio. She's going to perform for us, and we're going to get to know her a little bit more. Hi, how you doing?
Holla.
All right. All right, so we'll get to know her a little bit, hear some of her songs. I'm excited. I cheated and listened ahead of time, and it's awesome.
I will say this, though. I can already tell she's going to be the cool person on the show with the intro of Holla. That was great. I appreciate it.
I didn't see it coming. It's taking
it was over my head. I didn't even get it.
It's taking me back. We're also going to do Secular versus Solomon tonight.
Woo!
So this is the game where I give you a proverb. You need to tell me whether it's a biblical bit of wisdom or a secular bit of wisdom. And if it's a secular bit of wisdom, you got to tell me the country of origin. Here's the deal. We want to make sure, can we tell where our wisdom is coming from, right? Is it something that we believe and that we follow because God said it or because some guy in Indonesia said it? And there's a difference.
Let's hope we're not following just fortune cookies. We really need to figure out what's in the Bible. Dan, it has to be an actual country.
I will do my best to use my geographical skills.
There we go.
Yes.
Now, when Dan says that, it's generally offensive. It's generally like some kind of wisdom where, like,
stereotype.
It's offensive to have said, well, that's a Chinaman that said that because
they eat a lot of rice.
I like you to know my logic. I like you to know where I'm coming up with my conclusions, and there's a flow of thoughts, and so I like to just say it out loud.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so we're going to do that. We are going to do we're walking through the 50 proofs that God is imaginary. We got through all 50.
Yep.
But there was 3 bonus content on the website, so we're going to do that. We are on number 50, number 2 bonus, or number 52 total.
Which I have not read.
Good.
So
the 52 proofs, I'll give you a heads up, is watch your minister, pastor, or priest.
That's why I didn't read it.
I don't know. I guess we'll see how this goes. Yep. If this is indeed a proof that God is imaginary. So far, God's 51-0. We'll see how 52 shakes out. Also, we got advice on Dear Life from the Path. Anybody watch that guy that walked across the Grand Canyon?
No.
Did anybody watch
that? I've seen parts of the, like,
was it heard about it.
Yeah. Was it, like, the tightrope walk guy?
Crazy ratings.
Yeah. It was. I watched it. So here's the deal. I get the free, whatever the free TV comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where you put the antenna out. That's what I get. But
is
I was,
that why your wife has that aluminum hat?
That's
wears?
Exactly right. To the left, baby. I want the wheel of fortune to come in strong. So I went to my mama's house last night.
And there's tightrope tonight. Can we come over?
So
made nacho cheese dip and everything.
So I went over there, and they had it on. Of course, like, it starts at 7, and it doesn't start walking until 10 to 9, right? But
a lot of build up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
2 hours of a pregame.
It was a long
look
time.
Look at that rope. It's pretty tight.
Does the Super Bowl have that
it
much?
Was a long time.
I don't think so.
The tension of the rope, like,
this is awesome.
The Navajo were out there, like, watching them, and, like, where they put the cameras, how they strung the rope, the winds and stuff. Anyway, so here's the thing. Here's what I really do. First of all, it's kind of cool to watch to watch this guy kind of walk across. He didn't have any tether or anything, like. If he fell, he's dead. There's no options around this thing.
It's a little creepy.
But here's the deal: is he's a Jesus man?
Yeah.
And so, like, the whole time he's walking, he's praying, like, "Thank you, God. Thank you. Stabilize the wire for me, Lord Jesus." Here's the deal: 22 minutes a straight Jesus. And I thought, there's no other time someone's getting away with that. Like, the only man that can stand there in that type of program and like pray for 20 minutes is a guy walking a tightrope. That's it.
Do you think our atheist friend was maybe praying to his non-god that he would fall so he could prove that prayer didn't work?
You know,
I feel like that was a very big stretch for that.
No, actually, there was a lot of conversation about that in the news today.
Really?
About that particular thing. Like, if he would have fallen, you know, boy, we would have been at least been able to say, like, you know, obviously there's not a God. He fell from the tightrope. I'm not sure that walking across the tightrope over the Grand Canyon is like a God-ordained deal. but however, once you're out there, I can't think of anything better to do than to be praying.
I think
there's only so many options.
I don't think I'd be the one that's like really calmly praying. I wouldn't be like, thank you, God, for the rope today. I appreciate, you know, the stability of the rope. And, you know, the breeze is really nice because I'm getting super hot right now.
He was saying stuff like...
Canyon.
He was saying stuff like, Lord, I want to thank you for this view. I'm like, whoa!
I wouldn't be that guy. I'd be like,
I'd like
okay,
to keep it at
I'm
a distance.
I'm just going to shut up and be quiet because I'm walking across the Grand Canyon on a rope, and I could die at any time. So
it was very interesting. And the thing that I thought, you know, like you really couldn't go where there were like millions of people watching and they gave you 22 minutes of straight prayer. I thought it was kind of cool for that reason alone.
If it helps somebody,
it was
right
definitely
on,
interesting.
Could God use it? Absolutely.
All right. Speaking of tightrope rope walking, Chandra Knudsen.
She was tightrope just a little bit ago.
Tightrope walk.
Segways are weird. Speaking of tightrope walking.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and how long you've been playing?
I'm originally from Harlan, Iowa. I have been singing since I was like 5. I started songwriting when I was 15. That's when I started picking up guitar lessons. And then I actually started writing Christian music when I was 17. I was in a traveling youth ministry band called Face Down. And we had like special music where we got to sing solos. And mm-hmm. I would write my own songs and sing those as my solos. So, yeah. I am a barista at Java Joe's. I make great coffee.
Right on.
In a fedora.
That's even better.
No, it's not.
That's bad.
Wait, is that required or is that?
Yeah.
That, oh,
I thought you were just rocking the fedora your own style.
No,
a force fedora is not a cool fedora.
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of out of style now?
Yeah.
Why you gotta rub that in?
It's okay.
Well, I just yesterday took my fedora Facebook profile picture down. I think that's when it started going out of style.
It's,
like,
it's okay. I get free coffee, so. Oh,
there you go.
Wait, do you get like free specialty coffees too, or just like the regular brew?
I get free regular brew and lattes and Italian sodas, cappuccinos.
What's your drink of choice while working?
I usually make a vanilla chai. It's pretty good.
All right.
Two shots of espresso to get my day pumping.
Troy, what do you drink?
I drink what's called the 5-Point Palm Exploding Heart coffee.
What is it?
Starbucks Cafe Americano, top with black coffee.
Starbucks, you traitor.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. It's got a drive-thru, okay?
Dude, you're so cool. You're so corporate.
5 shots of espresso in the morning. It's good stuff.
Dang.
Yeah, no, that seems healthy. That's good for your heart.
Oh, absolutely. Heart loves it.
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. We're talking with Chandra Knudsen. So I tell you what, let's get right to the tunes. Tell me a little bit about listening.
This is a song I wrote my senior year in high school, so it's about 2 years old. When I was a senior, like, it seemed like, okay, so we had a concert every Sunday. We traveled to different churches around Iowa, and I ended up writing a new song every week for each sermon. And I don't really know, like, what inspired me, but I would just, you know, pray and be like, you know, God, what message do you want me to share this upcoming week at church? And then the songs would just kind of come to me. And this was actually one of the members, Random Donkey, one of Face Sound's favorite songs. So that's why I actually thought it was kind of bad at first. And then everyone's like, oh, I love it. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's pretty good.
You know, I thought that about a set of suspenders I had, and it really was. They were just leading me on. It really were bad. They were just like, oh, yeah, dude, that looks great.
Oh, no.
Nice fedora, too.
Are you still friends with anyone who told you to rock that, you know? Suspenders
oh, no.
and fedora at the same time?
So now I'm like, I think this listening song is, I mean, it's kind of on the edge. It could be really awesome, or, like, you could have some disingenuous friends.
All right.
I suppose
Alicia?
We'll see how
my sister's been lying to me.
I suppose we'll see how it goes. Well, okay, I'd love to hear it. This is listening. You're listening to Chandra Knudsen on Life from the Path.
So Sometimes I don't have confidence in who I am and my existence. I feel lost, I feel lost, I feel lost. And sometimes I feel down and out, so worked up, just wanna scream and shout out loud, out loud, out loud. But I know that I'm never alone, 'cause God, you never leave me on my own. You lift me up when I don't feel I am good enough. You say cry on my shoulder, you'll be here when things are colder. You take me in your arms, and I know you're never too far away. 'Cause when I fall to my knees and pray, you're always listening, listening, you're listening. Sometimes I know I disappoint you, for giving in instead of pushing through. I failed you, I failed you, I failed you. And sometimes I focus on the bed instead of thanking you for all that I have. 'Cause I'm blessed, yeah, I'm blessed, yeah, I'm blessed. But I know that I'm never alone, 'cause God, you never leave me on my own. You lift me up when I don't feel I am good enough. You say cry on my shoulder, you'll be here when things get cold. You take me in your arms, and I know you're never too far away. 'Cause when I fall to my knees and pray, you're always listening, you're listening, you're listening. Doesn't matter where I am, Lord, on you I can always depend. 'Cause when I fall to my knees to pray, you are always listening. You lift me up when I don't feel I am good enough. You say cry on my shoulder, you'll be here when things get colder. You take me in your arms, and I know you're never too far away. 'Cause when I fall to my knees and pray, oh Lord, when I fall to my knees and I pray, when I fall to my knees and pray, you're always listening, listening, you're listening.
That was great. Oh my gosh.
Thanks, man.
That was incredible.
I really liked that one.
Yeah.
It was better than the Suspenders?
Your sister is trustworthy.
Yeah, your sister is a trustworthy judge of music. It's times like these where I actually absolutely love music, when I get to just sit here and just absolutely smile through an entire song. That was incredible.
Thanks.
Absolutely incredible.
Actually, you miss that sometimes. You kind of create the soundtrack through your day, what you're going to listen to, you know, and like that tune reminds me of one of those tunes where I'm just ready to be honest. You know what I'm saying? I'm just ready to be honest at the end of the day. I'm like, you know what? Here's kind of the deal. So I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I really liked
Thanks.
It. Is that one on your EP?
Yeah.
So Chandler, you can get her EP Rotten. It's on iTunes. You can go out there and pick it up.
Wait a minute, I missed it. It's called Rotten?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's also some breakup songs on there. Okay,
because
I write some love and heartache music as well.
Do normal people over accentuate the T like I do it,
what?
Or do they say Rotten?
I feel like it's more like Rotten.
Rotten.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I could pull it off.
Rotten.
Right? That's a rotten.
You'd be a really good vocal teacher. Got
yeah,
nice
right
dictation.
See?
Yeah.
Ben, you've been lying to me for years.
Hey, you've been lying to me. Diction. Diction, Mike. I won't put up with this.
Trying to put on a semi-legitimate program
here.
Yeah,
I feel like you're going to, though.
Chad raised the bar, and then we just kind of dropped it.
Yeah, we just threw it right back down.
Awesome. So you can check her out going to iTunes. You can pick up that the EP, Rotten. Also, she's on Facebook and YouTube. If you go to the Life from the Path Facebook page, facebook.com/Life from the Path, if you look what we like Chandra. So you can go out and check that out, and you can like her page, see what she's up to, and keep track. So where do you go? Do you have some gigs coming up that people could go check out?
Yeah, actually, July 13th, I'm playing at Collide. It's a Christian music rock fest, and it's at Point of Grace Church in Waukee.
Cool.
And I also just got hired part-time to be their worship leader at their church, so I'm pretty excited.
All right.
They only need a worship leader part of the time?
Well, I'm working.
That's a fair
That's
question.
Not what I meant. I mean, like, I got hired part-time.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with
you.
You
see what I mean?
Yeah. I'm
so
with
you. Yeah, and then also August 13th, I am singing at the Iowa State Fair at the Bill Riley stage. Got my 45 minutes of fame.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty, me and Ben had a Lederhosen act we did at Bill Riley one time.
Oh.
They didn't invite us back. No. I felt like they'd misjudged our talent.
I was the hosen.
Oh.
Ew. All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. All right, so here's the deal. We're walking through the 50 proofs from GodIsImaginary.com, and we're through number 50. He's got three extra. We're on number 52, which is watch your minister, pastor, or priest. So let's review the following and see if we feel like this shows that God is indeed imaginary. Here's how it goes. The Bible offers several different ways to tell if someone is behaving in a Christian way. Is your minister, pastor, or priest following the Bible's prescriptions? Here are four of the most important, full colon.
I can tell you right now that shirt's not in Leviticus, Dan.
There's something about floral patterns somewhere.
Jesus loves Hawaii, all right?
I'm just saying that boiling the goat in a mother's milk thing, he really meant that shirt. It was a metaphor.
The whole have the
traveled
priest
a
check
long
all
way
your
to get this shirt.
It makes you look tan.
Check all.
There you go.
She just didn't say anything good about the shirt.
She just said it changes
it's
your
not
complexion.
About the
shirt,
a little.
That shirt is so awful.
Here's hoping.
Here we go.
I'm sorry, Ben. Continue on.
Yes, one. Please read number one.
Number one, Christians keep quiet.
Thank you.
Matthew 6:5-8. Jesus tells Christians how to pray. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Does your minister, pastor, or priest pray in public like a hypocrite? Does he babble on and on? If so, he is defying Jesus. Who snorted? Who snorted?
Wasn't me.
I'll own it. It was Booba.
Let's pull it together.
It was Booba. I'm sorry. It was me.
I'm sorry. It was indeed Booba. I'll second that.
Number two, Christians keep quiet too. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Christians are encouraged to live quietly. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. To mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Is your minister, pastor, or priest living a quiet life, working with his hands and minding his own business? Number three, Christians do not have wealth. And he loves this one. Matthew 6:19, Jesus tells his followers to give up on possessions. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I'm going to go with the blah, blah, blah. Matthew 19:21, Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Does your minister, pastor, or priest live in a nice house, drive a nice car, wear nice clothes? Why?
No.
None of those things.
Nicely done, man.
I have hail damage on my car.
I'm borrowing Mike's car because my car is broken. Why isn't he listening to Jesus, Booba? Number four, Christians can demonstrate that they are Christians. In Mark 16, Jesus is very clear about what true Christians, that's a capital T, true, will be able to do to demonstrate their belief, full colon. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Can your minister, pastor, or priest drink poison without dying? If not, according to Jesus, he must not believe. Simply think about it. Jesus and the Bible are quite clear about these things, and your minister, pastor, or priest should have the closest connection to Jesus of anyone you know. Is your minister, pastor, or priest following the Bible? Probably not. There is no one you know who is doing all of these things. There is no Christian on earth who can drink poison without dying. The reason why your minister, pastor, or priest ignores the Bible is because God is imaginary. If God were real, your minister, pastor, or priest would be following the Bible to the letter. So would you. What do you think, boys? Ladies?
I feel like we can start from the back and maybe work towards the front.
Okay.
So the back part, the first one, when it says, let's see, should have the, there's the first misconception right off the bat. And your minister, pastor, or priest should have the closest connection to Jesus of anyone you know. The Bible doesn't play that out. The Bible just instructs that a teacher or a preacher in that aspect, God has given them a job to do and they've accepted that job. Right? Jesus' sacrifice covers everybody the same. And so, you know, starting right there, he's elevated pastors, priests, ministers to be like ultra Christians or super Christians, and you know, the Bible doesn't make that distinction.
A lot of culture does that too, which is kind of a little bit troubling.
There's parts of Christianity that do that, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
Reverend, it's like,
yeah, it's not a total, you know, it's not a pagan misconception. We as Christians do this on occasion, but I mean, if you read the Bible for what it is, I mean, God calls some people to be, you know, teachers and counselors, and he calls some people to be guys that work with their hands and talk to the fellows they're working with, and
he calls all of us to be holy,
yeah,
and obedient,
yeah, and so he's assigning a distinction to the Bible that's not made there. You know, the next one, you know, some of the Bible verses he's picked out, they're actually pretty good ones, because they're in the Lord's Word, but he's taking them out of context, right? Like, especially Matthew 19:21, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions. He was talking to a guy.
Who had a problem with it.
Yeah, who was worshiping money, basically, as far as the context can put it. You know,
correct, yeah.
He said, Lord, I want to follow you. What should I do? And he said, give up your possessions, and I'll see you in a little bit. And the guy didn't do it.
Yeah, didn't he walk away like sad?
Because his idol was money, right? And so he hits you where you need to be hit. It's not like he says that to everybody. He doesn't go up to a homeless guy and say, give up everything you have and follow me. The guy's like, I'm there, Lord. Let's do this.
Right? You know? I'm in.
I'm out of tunics, you know.
Got a pair of socks.
So I mean, there's kind of a lot of holes in this one. I didn't even feel like usually I can sympathize with him on some levels, on some of the points that he makes, but just I don't.
It shows his complete ignorance of the scripture. Anybody can pick out a verse here or there of any. Or a paragraph here or there of any literature and twist it. He's not using any of it correctly. I mean, you're right. Everything's out of context. He's taking things and saying, see, that's what everybody's supposed to do, and that's not what the Bible was saying. So, yeah, you're right. I agree with you.
Yeah, this is yet another situation where he has put someone above other people. It's men that put, you know, your minister, your pastor, your priest above other men. God doesn't do that in his eyes. You are still a man if you are a minister, a pastor, a priest. However, there are certain things that I believe it's James, actually, that you're called out to do. You know, have an obedient family, have an obedient wife, and all that different stuff. They're prerequisites to being a leader in the church. But that's not for God's sake. That's for man's sake. You know, the people around us, when we see a minister or a pastor or a priest, we put that person in a higher perspective. We put that person in a higher light because, obviously, you know, they're our pastor. They're you know, way better than we are in their Christian faith and in their walk with God. That stuff is called out so that the pastor or the minister, who is held in a higher regard from men, don't cause their sin to be stumbling blocks for their flock. It's so that, you know, the flock that they're tending to don't sit there, well, my pastor does this, and my pastor does this, and my pastor's children do this, and my pastor's wife does this, so obviously I can do it, and I'll be just fine. And it has nothing to do with God putting that man in a higher regard in his own eyes.
That's a real lazy faith, though, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really want to read the Bible for myself. I'm just going to take another flawed human and base my life on his. You know, God provided a non-flawed person to cover that, and you're like, I'm not really interested in reading what
exactly.
He's done.
I trust my entire eternity to that guy over there.
Because if that was the truth, you'd have four guys in bright purple shirts in this room, you know, beating their car with a hammer.
I don't need to have my own walk with Christ. I don't need to have my own walk with God. You know, my pastor's got that down, and I just have to make sure that I listen to him. Yeah, I don't need to listen to God and talk to God. He'll do that. I just need to make sure I take his interpretation and live what that is. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's kind of funny, actually. I just got done. I just switched my daughter off of the Jesus Storybook Bible to an NIV, you know. And it might have been too early of a switch. She's only five, right? But I decided she reads, you know. And so we started walking through it, and she can read it.
We're diagramming
Bible bigger than she is.
And we started right in Matthew, and we've been going through it chapter by chapter.
That's awesome.
I thought, here's the way I wish I'd have learned it, you know. And so we just went through Matthew 6:5-8, and she was totally confused. She's like, so I can't pray in front of other people? I'm like, well, here's the heart of the deal, you know? And so we talked about it, and that was actually a really good conversation. And actually, I might even recommend that to you. You know, if you have a child in the, you know, that's just kind of starting to read between the, you know, 5, 8, 9, somewhere around there, put them something that's going to confuse them, so they have to go to you for answers, right? So you can teach them. You know, if it's too dumbed down, they're going to miss the point. But like, that's your job as the spiritual leader in your house, as the father, is you're to guide your kids. And so, you know, it's almost beneficial for you to put them on the NIV or the ESV like now, and have them ask you what that means, so you have a chance to explain it to them.
That is awesome, because those, you know, the story Bibles are great and they have their place and we use them as well. But there comes a place when you get older and you start actually reading the verses and you go, wait a minute, you know, Solomon's a dork.
Exactly.
This David's a real jerk.
Yeah, exactly. He was looking at naked people.
this is not the David I thought.
Hey, sorry, quick deflection here. So, speaking of naked people.
Oh, no.
This doesn't sound good at
all. I don't want to know.
You want my shirt?
No.
Sweet Moses, Dan.
No. So I was talking about the high wire thing, right? The guy walking across the Grand Canyon. So it was on the Discovery Channel. And pretty much like every commercial break, that they promote a show called Naked and Afraid. And it was about a bunch of naturalists who were like, have to survive for like 21 days. And like, I mean, there's butts everywhere. I mean, nude butts.
You can't.
And like, my kids were sitting there and they're like, ha ha, butts. And I'm like, why are there butts on the TV?
What's happened here? I didn't know Discover meant this.
It was completely unnecessary. And I thought, you know,
they had to balance the prayer.
People do that.
Exactly.
Here's the thing is, though, people will do that stuff in the name of education or enlightenment or experience. Like, you need to know what these crazy people in the nudist colonies are trying to survive. You know what would help? Build a hut and put some clothes on. That'd put you 5 steps ahead of the game. Get yourself a bow and arrow.
I mean, here's the deal. It's like, everybody has a butt. So, like, I'm not, it's not going to corrupt them or anything, but I'm like, why do there have to be butts on the screen all the time? My kids are trying to watch a guy walk across the Grand Canyon, and there's, like, nude butts everywhere. Anyway, go back to what you're talking about.
We were talking about Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. I got distracted by a commercial about butts.
What was his Thessalonians verse?
Christians, keep quiet. Make your ambition. Lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Working with your hands.
Yeah, it's a quiet life, but, I mean, you can still do some talking. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Yeah.
I feel like that's okay.
I think that's the point. Don't run around and be a busybody and getting everybody's business and all that stuff.
It's so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders.
Exactly.
So you will not be dependent on anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like the concept of prayer that he puts out and takes it completely out of context for everyone. Don't pray in public ever. Never, ever, never can you ever pray with anyone. You're a hypocrite. You're a terrible person. He's talking about the Pharisees who would literally walk the streets and push people away from them so that he couldn't touch them, wear robes that were just absolutely flowing and majestic and everything, so that people realized that they were just these great people and these wonderful men, and they would pray these ridiculous prayers and just out there, so people would be like, oh, look, it's a Pharisee. Did you hear that prayer? I wish I could pray like that. Like, that guy was great.
He must really
know God. And that's ridiculous.
You know how hard of a concept that is to explain to a small child?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, they're in trouble for praying all the time, Dad? Here's the thing. They weren't really listening to
this picture Bible.
That's why I'm scared to be a dad. I'm be praying every single day that God just completely takes over my heart and my mouth when it comes to talking to my kids, because I know I can say some stupid stuff.
Your diversion is, let's read it together. Yeah. That'll give you another 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
To figure out
let's go over
what
that
you
again.
Know what you're talking about.
Sitting there speed reading it like 6 times as they're reading it once so I can really get it down.
So that's, I don't know, what is that, proof of 52?
That's 52.
That God is probably not imaginary. Yeah.
This is the weakest one, I think.
Yeah, it was real.
Is it just because it's about pastors, Dan?
I don't like him now. He was my friend.
He has personally affronted me.
No, I mean, yeah, it's just the weakest one. Some of the other ones were like, okay, I see where you're coming from. And this, he's just... Yeah.
This is just another one of, you know, this is a supplemental one. The 10 to 15 that actually had good, solid points that we need to know as Christ followers to be able to take a stand for our faith and really talk about to people, because these are genuine questions that believers are asking us and asking each other. And then just to make it so, oh, God's wrong all the time, let's talk about pastors or let's talk about televangelists, mm-hmm. because that's really showing the heart of God. That's not just men screwing everything in the world up because we're evil people. So it's it's just another supplemental one to give him another number. That's all it is, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I guess I guess we'll see what he has for us next week. I feel like
it's the last one.
That one was kind of woofle ball action.
Yeah.
No, we got one more, don't we, Ben?
There's one more. Yeah. I'll give you the opening salvo on bonus number three. This is the final one, rounding out our God's imaginary.
This is my favorite topic.
Yep.
Think about marriage as described in the Bible.
Yeah, buddy.
How much Deuteronomy is in there?
Anyway, that's holy cats. It's long. All right. Anyway, so we'll talk about that's proof number 53, and that will round out our God's imaginary. Look, here's the deal. The reason we go through these is to make fun of Bubba. But to also, because we as other people encounter the scripture, we should be able to help people to talk about things that otherwise they're concerned about, that they don't agree with, that they misunderstand about God's character or his word, or if these are legitimate barriers for some folks, we should be able to provide a defense of the hope that we have. And so that's why we go through them. If you want to see previous answers for the other 51 that we've already gone through, you can go to lifefromthepath.org and watch previous episodes of the show, listen to the podcast. Ultimately, don't take our word for it. Get in the Bible. God's way more reliable than we are, and that's what we'd encourage you to do. And I kind of had a lot of fun going through these,
just to see where
people's barriers are and recognize where my barriers have been
right.
in the past.
I've grown in my faith just going through them. You know, these are questions that at one point in time, if not still, I have. And hearing the questions and hearing the answers that we have and the facts that are brought to us through Scripture and everything like that, it really puts it in perspective, because these aren't far-fetched things. A lot of these things may be, but a lot of these things are questions and answers that people that are truly seeking the heart of God are honestly seeking. And it's something that we can provide through the grace of God, and it's amazing. So it's been an awesome experience so far.
All right. Well, I mean, it's not dead or anything. We're just rounding it up.
it's not broken. I feel like we can still look at it maybe later. We can reminisce, Bubba, if we want. We can hold hands and sing tunes.
Have a five-finger death punch or whatever it is that you wanted to be talking about.
Five-finger death punch?
What is it we were talking about for your coffee?
Five-point palm exploding heart coffee?
I said the same thing, definitely.
You did not, actually.
Okay.
You said a band name, actually.
I'm bad. I know people. I know the hip tune.
You know the five-finger death.
I'm
going
to pop some tags.
Oh. All right.
You totally should have seen that coming. All right. All right, Shadow. Here's the deal.
It's true.
As a reward for hanging out during that, we want to hear another tune, because that was really the high point. Tell me a little about God Is There.
This is another one off my EP, and I think that this song really just targets the youth, because when you're in like middle school and high school is kind of where you start developing what road you're going to go down on. Like the choices that you make then and who you hang out with, they're going to reflect your life. And so it's really hard with peer pressure, especially now in today's society with like TV and like everything you see on there. I think the youth is just kind of confused on what is right and what is wrong. And so this song is kind of just about like God is there for all of your troubles. He's always there when you need to pray and talk to him. And even if you're having like a bad day, he's always got your back. So
cool.
That's what this one is about.
Well, you're listening to God Is There by Chandler Knutson on Life from the Path.
Us to fall. Sometimes it's hard to stay strong. Sometimes you don't know right from wrong. You hate feeling so small. But when you need help to see, just get down onto your knees. The one thing that I know is you are not alone. Oh. strong, but soon it won't be long till the sun dries up for me. When you need help to see, just get down on your knees. The one thing that I know is you are not alone. God is there, watching over you. He is the hand that's pulling you through. He is the end. When you feel like giving up, he gives you faith.
A harder time walking than you do singing those tunes. You know what I'm saying? Like, like you do it so effortlessly. I don't know. It just I really like it. There's dynamic changes there. I'm like, yeah, God is there. That's right. And then you're yelling at me. I'm like, I got it. Okay, it's sinking in.
Sorry.
Yeah, I really liked it. That was nice. The chat loves it. The chat's got all kinds of stuff on there.
Once again, I'm absolutely blown away. That was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Awesome job.
Dang, I feel like I'm going to write some tunes. They're not going to be good ones, but I'm certainly going to
do this.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. I got spoons.
Is that one on the EP?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Where can I get the EP at?
It's on iTunes. It's also on CD Baby, and we also sell it at Java Joe's.
Yeah, Java Joe's.
Yeah.
You going to have a copy at the Collide?
Yeah. That's I'll have them there, and also have them at the State Fair, too.
Now, are you doing acoustic at Collide, or are you going to have a band? Or?
I've been talking with the pastor, and he said if I want a band that he can get me one.
You didn't hold him in any higher regard than any other dude, right?
What?
You're just like, hey, oh, pastor man.
No, I'm no, Pastor Brett. No, he told me that if I wanted a band that he could hook me up. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
that? Might be nice.
Like backup dancers. I know right. me and Boova are available.
I don't know what kind of moves you got.
I have tight pants. That's a start.
I actually do the intro dance. It's kind of one of these.
Oh, yeah.
And then a little bit of this.
If it's ever needed, I can go the other way.
Yeah, we can.
I can do it in both directions.
I invented the dance move called the sniffy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's kind of harsh? You haven't even seen it.
You didn't even let me do it.
No, it's best you not see it.
I don't know what we're going to do here. Hold on a second.
Wow, that was interesting commentary.
I got to move. Hang on.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
Hey, so here's the deal. You've made the mistake of stumbling on to America's fastest growing internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. Here's the rules of the game. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom. Okay, and you need to tell me whether that bit of wisdom is a biblical bit of wisdom, Solomon, or whether it's a secular bit of wisdom. And then if it's a secular bit of wisdom coming from the outside, non-biblical world, what is the country of origin? That's what we're looking for.
I'm excited for it, Ben.
Everybody good?
Actual country, Mike.
I don't know geography as well as you might hope. I feel like they lowered the standards for getting out of high school like the year I graduated.
All right, we're getting ready to go. Chat, you guys ready? Everybody's good. Okay. Here's number one. A light is still a light even though the blind man cannot see it. A light is still a light even though the blind man cannot see it. Secular
What are you doing?
Or, I'm not looking at the answers.
Why are you acting this way?
I'm just not looking at the answers.
That's right. I get secular or Solomon. Buva.
Secular. Laotian.
Laotian. Mike Fust.
I'm going to go secular and Polak.
Poland?
Poland. It's a nationality, isn't it?
Polish.
Ah, bollocks. Hey,
countries. Thank you.
Okay, Poland.
Jenner Knutson. Secular or Solomon?
Solomon?
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm thinking a place that has a lot of light.
Iceland? It's really bright.
We're not Greenland. Alaska.
I'm going China. China.
You're the funniest man I've ever met.
I love your logic.
Here we go. A light is still a light, even though the blind man cannot see it. Secular, Austria.
Oh, I was so close.
Austria.
Now, wait a minute. What was that book of the Battle for Warsaw? That was right next to Poland, didn't it? Austria is right next to Poland.
Here we go. God. here we go. Secular Solomon. God,
we've been brothers for years.
I'm aware. God grant me a good sword and no use for it. God grant me a good sword and no use for it. Secular or Solomon. Mike.
I'm going to go with secular and Rome.
Secular Rome. Jenner Knutson.
Secular Denmark.
Denmark.
I don't know.
go with confidence. Denmark. That's definitely what it is. Dan Hudson.
It is secular. It is definitely Canadian. They do not believe in the military there.
Hey, the chat also guessed secular Canada. John Buva the third.
Secular Zimbabwe.
Secular Zimbabwe. God, great. No one, no, the presence of God in the proverb is not throwing anybody, eh?
No.
No.
Oh. This is tricksy. God grant me a good sword and no use for it. Secular Poland.
Oh, come on.
Poland.
Why am I treated this way?
It's
like the skateboard of life has run over me.
You just need to keep saying the same country
over
and
over again.
Eventually you'll be right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Secular Solomon. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Secular or Solomon. Jander Knudsen.
Don't let the she-bear throw you.
I don't know. I don't. Okay. Solomon?
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to say that it's a Sarah Palin proverb that is in Proverbs. Solomon.
Solomon. John Boover III.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go Hopi Indian.
That is not a country.
Well, it's a
Excuse me. It is not a country.
It's a nation.
Unacceptable.
They're a nation of people. Leave it alone.
You fail no matter what.
You said Pollock.
Okay, I'm submitting Chile on your behalf. Mike.
I'm also going with Solomon. I feel like folly, fool, and she-bear could be no one else in the Bible.
Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Proverbs 1712.
Not Hopi Indian.
You would have
Solomon.
Pollock, first off. Second off, I did not expect she-bear to be in the
Chile.
Bible.
Chile. That's a mistake.
Does God hate she-bears?
I don't know. I just wasn't expecting she-bear.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon, if you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Secular or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
That is a secular Russian. They have to kind of spread things out, you know?
The Russians have intestinal problems. Thanks, Dan. John Buva.
I'm going to go secular Egyptian.
Secular Egypt. Mike Fust.
Nope. That smells like Solomon from here to Calcutta. Solomon.
Solomon. Jander Knudsen.
I'm going to go secular and Germany.
Secular Germany. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Solomon, Proverbs 25:16.
Talk to me, Solomon. You know what? You know what? I found the best use to get the most out of the Bible. If you actually turn the pages,
do you read it?
And read it.
Oh,
says she bear slash funny.
That's crazy. Mine's just been kind of stuck on Matthew 7 for a long time. I've got it down, but
I moved it. And there was dust under it. I cleaned it.
I was confused.
I'm having a guy text me the Bible one verse at a time.
It's a verse of the day.
I was going to say, I thought I had the Bible down a lot. There was like two pages of it, and that's it. I was like, I can really study this.
I feel so convicted.
I can really
How
get
can
into
there
this.
Be more?
Secular or Solomon, may you get to heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. May you get to heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. Secular or Solomon. John Buva.
I'm going to yell at it, but secular, the south of the United States.
Secular, I'm submitting Sudan on your behalf.
You're submitting Sudan.
You're being. South. I don't know why you're being problematic. Mike.
Secular, I'm gonna go with Spain.
Spain. Chandra Knutson.
Secular and Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go secular and Tom Petty.
What?
What is that? Is he looking stuff up?
Yeah, he's cheating.
I just couldn't remember the guy's name. I had to do a song I remember.
Why are you thinking about Tom Petty right now?
Just sounds like a Tom Petty song.
This game is off the rails. Here's the deal. I'm accepting country submissions only from secular, or you owe me $20 every time I get some kind of wild hair recommendation.
He's made enough money to buy a country. Okay, it's a small country.
I'm submitting Ecuador on your behalf.
Okay.
May you get to heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. Secular, Irish. Irish.
What did I tell you?
Exactly. Not Ireland, but Irish?
Yeah, it was Irish proverb, so Ireland. Oh. Yep. All right.
I was going to say, I thought we were only saying countries here.
Burn. Learn how to run the game.
secular. Chad had Cuba. Secular or Solomon, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace.
Dang it.
The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Secular or Solomon, Mike.
God's got all the earmarks of Solomon. He's trying to trick me. Wise and fools. Hold on. That's definitely Solomon, Ben.
Solomon. Chandra Knutson.
Solomon.
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
Solomon.
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
Solomon.
John Buva, what are you going to guess?
Solomon.
Okay, very good. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Solomon, Proverbs 3:35. Congratulations.
What? Yeah, never mind. Continue on. Just for an instance, Buva already has $20 out because he's going to try to pull funny.
I feel like my
you spend like, thrift. You spend $20 just to run your yap.
Hey, I'm gonna keep that $20. I'm not giving not like a good gag for the show. I'm gonna keep $20
bonus content
and buy foolish things.
Like we have a new advertiser.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon? The lazy man raises poor cabbage. The lazy man raises poor cabbage. Secular or Solomon? Chandra Knudsen.
I think Solomon.
Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm trying to think, where were the vegetarians hang out? Australia.
That's in for Australia.
It's like all the
You're
surfers.
Unpredictable at best, Dan. I'd really Crocodile like to see your good. Iowa tested basic skill scores. That's what I'm after. The reading comprehension, especially.
Here's what I don't understand. There should be a G. There should be a G answer. John Buva.
I'm going to go secular Lithuania.
The lazy man raises poor cabbage. Mike Foost.
Secular Holland.
The answer is secular Sweden.
Oh, man. That's
Sweden.
Really close.
Secular versus Solomon. A decision made at night may be changed in the morning. A decision made at night may be changed in the morning. Secular or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go secular with that. And, boy, I'm going to have to go with Mexico.
Mexico. John Buva.
I'm going to go secular Japan.
Japanese change their minds in the morning. Mike Foost.
That's not even real. Like, what if you shave your head? You can't back that down.
Oh, you're saying Japan wasn't real. We were about to have a serious conversation.
You know what? I've had enough of this fictional Japan talk. Everybody shows me Atlas with falsehoods on it. What if you cut off your own leg? Like, you can't change that decision in the morning. Where do the fools live? That's what I'm saying. Secular, lots of fools in...
Be careful about what you're about to say.
I'm going to say Burma.
Far away. We officially lost all of our Burmese listeners.
A decision made at night may be changed in the morning. Chandra Knutson.
A secular Greenland.
Greenland.
Yep.
The country of peace and fools.
Oh, shoot. Isn't it?
A decision made at night may be changed in the morning. Everyone should have said secular Samoa.
Ah,
Samoa.
Never That's, heard of it.
They used to be part of Burma until they seceded in 1948.
Samoans seceded from Burma.
They changed their mind.
From the
we want back. Absolutely not.
The Burma-Samoan conflict of 1927. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Secular or Solomon. Where was I at?
You're on Hudson.
Dan Hudson.
I'm gonna say secular with that. And I'm going to... Oh boy. What's the North Pole? Is that what's
Antarctica?
Is that Antarctica? Yeah, it just sounds like a Christmas story. There's no spring.
North is Arctic Circle.
Okay, we'll
Antarctica
do that.
Is south.
Oh, just kidding.
Yeah. Arctic. I'm going to accept Arctic Circle. It's $3. John Bova.
Santa
Land. I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon. Mike Foost.
Secular and... Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Does that count?
Yeah, I'll take it. Let's see. Where was he at?
You didn't get one from Chandra.
I know. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Chandra Knutson.
I think Solomon.
Solomon. Here we go. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Solomon, Proverbs 10:22.
Yeah. He was drunk when he wrote that one.
Hey, now, wait a minute. This is celebration is unfair. Every guess you've made is, I don't know. I don't know. And then you finally get one right, and you celebrate like you own us.
Vindicated.
That's been like the third one I got right. Okay?
I studied that all week.
That's my life verse.
Stop hating, okay?
Dang it.
Here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter.
Sounds like a bad poem.
Secular or Solomon, John Buva.
We go secular, Niger.
Secular, they got gazelle troubles in Niger. Mike Foost.
Solomon.
Solomon, Chandra Knutson.
Secular Africa.
Secular Africa better not be scripture because you referred to it as a bad poem. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to say Solomon's going to come get you because he wrote that.
No.
Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. It will probably be Solomon and the gazelle will be Chandra Knutson. That's Proverbs 6.
Oh, snap.
Just don't go to sleep tonight. Solomon's watching.
Solomon is watching.
He's up in heaven going, don't like my poetry, eh? How do you spell that, Chandra?
I've been long dead.
Oh, no. He's talking like that.
I had 1,000 wives. It was a mistake.
secular Solomon, God grant me a good... Oh, no, I gave that one already. Hold on. That's it. We're done with secular Solomon.
That was great.
Yeah,
that was
a
good ending. You guys made Solomon out to be a real weirdo. I'm just going to say that right now.
Sometimes he's iffy.
He wrote his own stuff, man. What do you want to do?
He admitted he drank a lot.
Fair enough.
Secular. You're just part of whatever. You made mistakes in life. I can't help you. That's secular versus Solomon. Read your Bible. Take a pick. See what the Lord has to say. Solomon's a wise man. He's certainly wiser than me. And that's if nothing else, you can succeed on secular versus Solomon. Hey, if you want to play past iterations of the game, you can go to lifeinthepath.org. The last time Righteous Vendetta was in the studio, we played Secular versus Solomon with them.
Yeah, and I got spanked. I mean, it was bad. Righteous Vendetta actually. No, we've played since then. Who was in here that played? Oh, remember, I said Dan does terrible, and then he totally rocked it.
Oh, yeah, Dan was great at the last segment.
I think Brian Leach was in here.
Yeah, okay.
And we played Secular Solomon.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a fairly good game.
Mike, I got time for I got a quick one.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path. My husband and I invite our friends for dinner quite often, and invitations are always accepted. Recently, I began to notice that we are never invited to some of their homes for dinner. I know entertaining isn't for everyone, but they do entertain other people, just not us. I'm not sure why this is. We would never go empty-handed. If we were asked to bring a dessert or an appetizer, we would at least bring a bottle of wine to thank our hosts, and I'd clear the dishes and straighten the kitchen when the meal is over. Have you any thoughts to why an invitation is never extended to us?
Here's the deal. If you want to know what our answer is to that particular question, you're going to have to catch the end of the podcast. If you are listening on 99.3 KTA, I'm going to have to let you go. I appreciate you hanging out for the show. You can catch us during the week at lifefromthepath.org or shoot us an email at info@lifefromthepath.org. And, hey, man, I forgot we got to answer that question from the about the Bible.
Yeah, we're going to get it.
Okay, well, we'll get to it. Hey, we got extra advice coming here for the podcast. Go check that out. We're letting you go on KTA. Have a wonderful week. Okay. Go ahead.
The music's still rolling, baby.
No, I'm working on it. They can't hear it.
Oh, right on.
Only you can hear it.
Okay. So that was in. Why are people not inviting us? She's obviously offered to bring appetizers. She'll bring a bottle of wine. She'll clean the dishes.
I don't think they want you messing with their dishes.
What?
That's it, Dan?
Yeah. I don't know. They seem like nice people. I think they're socially awkward. They don't want
to... Yeah, I was going to say, there's got to be something going on where they're obviously thinking that they're the cool people, they entertain guests, you know, people come over, they should be invited to this thing. They wouldn't go empty-handed, so it's not a fact of, you know, we're not going to bring anything It's got to be something that they're doing that's just weird. Maybe they're like, you know, maybe they're just
vegetarians.
Like, maybe they're vegetarians, yeah, and they keep bringing over grass for everyone, and then like the wheat grass, and no one likes it.
Grass.
Hey man, I've had a couple of the what is it, the wheatgrass shots wheatgrass or something shots? That they sell. Yeah,
that's weird.
Good.
That is weird.
I feel invigorated. It gave me back knee though for like 3 weeks.
That's gross.
That's absolutely disgusting. Thank you for sharing that. You're the socially awkward person. That entertains people. They refuse to bring you over because you talk about things like this.
I can just see you scratch your back. Stupid health. Why do you gotta do this to me?
Did you write this letter?
was this you? No. Brought wheatgrass to the local party and everybody hated it.
Okay,
yeah,
but
there's gotta be something they're doing.
Now people are accepting invitations to their house, so their company can't be that bad.
Or you know their cooking's saying? That good.
Maybe they're cooking. Maybe people figure if they don't invite them over, they'll just keep inviting them back to their house so they can have good eats. Maybe they're really good cooks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, everybody knows me well enough to know that I can withstand some serious social awkwardness if I know that there's going to be a sweet, sweet digs when it comes to food there.
Yeah,
I will endure some weird people for delicious
capicola,
deviled eggs, some capicola. Whatever. I want some burgers for your weird company for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that would do that.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's here's the deal. Either they cook really well or they're the smelly people and they don't know it.
Actually, the chat's saying they don't shower.
Yeah, that might be the deal. I mean, you can air.
Don't they stink in their own house?
I can deal with social awkwardness.
It's a den
but
of
if somebody
filth.
Just smells downright funky, I'm not going over to their house, let alone eating food at the
appetite.
House where they smell funky.
Air freshener covers a lot of ground. I feel like, yeah. Yeah,
no.
That's like saying that spraying.
Listen,
a
these are the
of
only two
really
options.
No, it's not.
It's either excellent cook or smelly.
No,
these
here's
are,
I agree
the
with
only
him.
Possibility.
No, here's the deal. They're good cooks, but they brag about their own parties all the time. And so when they go over to someone else's place, they're always talking about that, and it's irritating.
You think they're judgmental of the people's house? Maybe.
Well, I don't think it's intentional. I think they're always talking about their own stuff when they go to other people's place. It seems natural in their own habitat. It's out of place at the somebody else's house, and so it's just awkward.
Well, this is a nice kitchen. Ours is a little bit bigger.
The chat has submitted perhaps they only bring hummus.
They're the people who bring hummus without crackers and wheatgrass.
This hummus
to give
looks good
some
in our
weird
kitchen,
situations.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's something going on. These people are weird.
Okay.
So what's the advice?
The secular's advice is the problem may be that the couple is embarrassed that they can't entertain you as lavishly as you've entertained them.
Hey.
Or they may have never been taught that it's rude to accept people's hospitality and not reciprocate in some way. I don't know, I agree with that. Because they're friends, you should pose this question to them and ask for an honest answer.
Okay. Secular is afraid to say that they smell funky. That's what it comes down to.
I think the honest answer is the way to go. Just ask him. Hey, how come such and such?
Stand at the front door and say, can I come in? I'd like to join the party.
Throw rocks at the window. Be like, please!
And then just like play some really, really sad song out there.
I mean, aren't they whiny, though? I mean, they are a little whiny.
They're kind of whiny.
That's the question. It's a wine-based question.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I need help. I'm a happily married man with a 1.5-year-old son, Judah. He might be the offender. We'll see. We have two kids' picture Bibles that we probably picked up at some shady garage sale because they were like 50 cents. In other words, we didn't scrutinize the content. Judah has started showing an interest in books recently. I took a few minutes to look over these Bibles, and I was shocked. Neither had any mention of sin or repentance. When telling of Noah, one just said that God decided to flood the earth and he wanted Noah to save the animals. Not a word about God punishing all the wicked people for the bad things they did. The other book was a little better. At least with Noah, it says that there were mean people and that's why God brought the flood. But then when talking about Jesus, it tells my kid that Jesus wants to be his best friend. Judas just needs to ask him. I don't want Jesus to be his best friend. I want Jesus to be his Lord. Trust me, this kid is a little sinner and needs to hear about judgment. Repentance and grace. I love my son, and I want to teach him the ways of God. I like this guy. Is there a good children's Bible out there that I can get to replace these pansy ones? Sincerely, Book Burner.
I love this question.
I really do love this question.
I think you wrote that.
It wasn't me.
No.
That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, this is oddly familiar situation.
No, that was actually a submitted question.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
At that kid's age range, at 1.5 years old, it's the Jesus Book Story Bible.
The Storybook Bible.
Jesus Storybook Bible.
Do you know the publisher?
It's Zondervan.
Zondervan?
Yeah, I think Zondervan does it. I looked up the ISBN numbers, but they're like 15 characters long.
Yeah.
It's like 903 something something.
The same folks do a devotional that's also very good. But like the cool thing about the Jesus Storybook Bible is like all the stories that are in there, point back to Jesus. It's
Old Testament, New Testament, yeah, both of them. But it's just an extremely well-written Bible. And frankly, it starts them off in a really good place because you don't get all the details, like, say, about David. But I know the Noah story in particular, especially and even the creation story, and when Adam and Eve had original sin, it all comes from God's heart perspective, right? And so for the Bible to mean anything to anybody, you have to understand God's heart just to kind of get you started, right? And that storybook Bible is really, really good about that. I mean, really good about that. Maybe you don't need to know that David was an adulterer and a murderer. Right now, when you're 1.5, you know, maybe when you're 12, we can start talking about that. And I don't think it's something to be skipped, but it's an excellent place to start him out at. It gives God's heart of how much he loves you, loves his creation, and wants to be in relationship with you. And so I would recommend that. I would recommend that Bible hands down until they're at least 5 or 6. You should get through that book, 10 times before they get to that age. And my kids loved it. They had good questions about it. In fact, I'm still reading it to my 3-year-old. And so it's that would be my number one recommendation there.
Yeah, I've used the Jesus Storybook Bible. I also used it's called the Ergemeyer's Bible Storybook. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
It's a relatively old one. But it's very, very good. It provides I would say it's probably appropriate if you got a sharp 3-year-old, but four or five, the details are good. It's written well. They don't skip a lot. It's pretty clear to read. It will bring up stuff like that. I remember with my it would have been my 5-year-old at the time. We talked through David's indiscretions. And we're like, why isn't this what happened? How did this impact David and David's relationship with God? How did that impact the people around him? And I like this one because of it provides a lot of details, but it's written relatively easy to follow for kids. I like those. I like this one in particular because you can walk through and it just gives you a lot of a chance to talk about the stories with your kids, right? I'm just going to not read it at them and okay, good, done. But it's a lot of cool opportunity to talk through details and follow. You can follow characters through multiple stories and see how God has kind of moved through those people and how God has interacted. It requires a little bit more forethought in how will I approach if I'm going to – how does this point back to Christ? You have to ask that question yourself and kind of walk your kids through that. But we went through this one I think twice with – my now 7-year-old, we've moved her on to the there's a kids NIV basically where it's the full Bible, but it's written in kind of kids language. There's a couple areas where I'm a little iffy on some choices they made, but for the most part I think it's the Discoverer's Bible or something, but it's she can read it herself and follow along and get used to kind of daily Bible reading and asking questions and making notes and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the progression we've gone is we've used the Jesus Storybook Bible. We've used the devotional that comes that Zondervan does. It's by the same person, kind of for the same reasons. And then we've used the Ergemeyer's Bible Storybook or the story. No, it's just the Ergemeyer's Bible Storybook. Yeah. And there was one more. I couldn't find the one. I gave it to someone who was actually just interested and didn't know much about the Bible, and they were curious, and I thought this is way better than trying to dump them into Matthew or something, as far as they wanted the big picture and they wanted it relatively quickly, and I gave them a kid's Bible, and I remember that one was good, but I totally have biffed what the name of it was.
Yeah
but there's but I think the heart of the question is a good one, which is, and we've talked about this a lot, right? If all the kids get until they're 15 is the flannel graph Jesus in Sunday school, we've done them a disservice. We've dumbed something down that God didn't dumb down. We've missed some opportunity to talk about God. I mean, granted, there's things they don't understand, and there's no reason to try to force something in their head that they don't understand. But there's plenty to learn about God's character and about the nature of those things through those kind of the fuller versions of those stories. And it's probably a mistake to just do the hardbound thing where the peanut butter wipes off easily until they're old, and then just put the whole thing, drop it in their lap, and say, "Here it is." Most of those, when the stories were happening, they were passed on verbally, storytelling, right? Engaging things that you would give to the kids. And it wasn't a formal study with the candle and the bread in the corner. And it's a mistake to think of it that way. So,
yeah, I was going to say that too, that's what I would add to this is even if you have the book that you have and you kept with that, I'd go with the ones you recommended, but, it's a great time to develop that relationship of as a father, teaching your child the supplemental stuff of that's. That little book maybe didn't mention, this book didn't mention, the sin, this so forth, at their level that they can understand. Because it's going to be the rest of their life, they're going to come to you for advice, and you can start that at 1.5. That's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah.
Through their entire educational time, we'd spend time after school, saying, "Hey, what'd you hear today? Where were your red flags? You know, and let me explain. You know, and it's a good thing to get started."
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I'd say across the board, our early recommendation would be the Jesus Storybook Bible by Zondervan, and then where you go from there kind of depends your kid and actually how much you know they read on their own or how much you have time to sit down and explain to them, and really, I mean, make sure you have time to sit down and explain.
I really love that time. Like, I really love. I got in trouble every night because like I totally biffed their bedtime. They're supposed to be at like half an hour before, but like it's just so awesome to sit with my girls and read through a story and talk with them about it. And like, it's just, it's one of my favorite times of night. I really love it.
Yeah. I got to do that with Brandon a couple weeks ago. He brought me his dad's new iPad thing and pulls up a Bible app, and I'm expecting him to show me a game and all this different stuff. Like he normally shows me his Iron Man games, and he brings up the story of Noah and he asked me to read it to him. And like, that was one of the most privileging things I've ever done my entire life, you know, was able to sit down and read it to my godson and really go through and explain, you know, God's heart in the story of Noah to my 3-year-old godson. It was absolutely incredible. So I look forward to that time as well.
Cool. Mike.
Okay, here we go. One more. Dear Life from the Path. I'm a 19-year-old high school graduate working full-time as a general manager for a furniture corporation. I live at home with my mommy, but I feel like I'm ready financially and emotionally to move out into my own place.
Wait, how old was he?
19.
Okay.
I said mommy. He said parents. I might have shaded
That's a little different.
A certain direction. I live at home with my parents. Excuse me. My father has always said he won't let me move out unless he approves of the place, and he talks about random checkups of my apartment. If I move out, aren't I entitled to privacy in my own place? I shouldn't have to get my parents' approval or have them checking up on me anytime they want. How do I approach them about this without it becoming a screaming match or ruining the relationship with them?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Unless he's paying for your place, I feel like I do not have to submit to inspections.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it depends. Again, heart of the father, it really depends, right? If he's coming to check the place out, would I appreciate my dad's help to come make sure I'm keeping the place
for
up?
Safety.
You bet. Yeah. I mean, and if he wants to pop by and, like, make sure my sink's running and help me fix a toilet, that sounds awesome. But if he's like, if you're going to move out, I'm going to come and do, like, inspections every couple months, I don't think so, Pops, unless, like, you're paying for it.
Sorry, old man.
That's ridiculous. If my parents ever asked me to come over to my place for anything besides my mom being awesome and just deciding to clean my house, absolutely not. You're not paying for the place. You don't have a stake in it. I respect you. I love you guys, but I'm not under your roof anymore, and I don't abide by your
rules. I don't have to honor you at all. Haven't you read the New Testament?
Haven't you read the New Testament? That's out of here.
Kill and eat. That's what he said. Kill and eat.
Oh, your father and mother was thousands of years ago. I don't need to deal with that. No.
I feel like they got a weird relationship with your dad, if that's kind of the deal. Like, dad might be a little bit authoritarian and not so much. Like, here's the deal. Like, especially if you're raising a son, by the time that son is 16, 15, 16, he should be able to stand on his own if you've spent some quality time with your boy. I mean, I don't want to say there's not all ball cases out there, but like by the time they're 19, you should both be looking at each other teary-eyed and say, I know you got this, son. I'll see you. You know, and send them out on their own and wait for the phone call. And you know.
And don't answer it.
And don't answer it.
That is exactly what my dad did.
Hey, you're on your own.
On my mom and dad's, I think it was their 22nd wedding anniversary, I walked in their room and I said, hey, mom, dad, happy anniversary. And kind of woke them both up. And they looked at me. They said, thanks. We appreciate you, all this different stuff. And I said, you're empty nesters. And my mom just gets teary-eyed. And my dad just gets this weird look of disbelief on his face when I'm telling him, you know, I already have my stuff packed. I didn't want to sit around for 5 hours while mom brought me baby pictures and everything and told me how much she's going to miss me. So last night, while you guys were doing your thing, I actually packed and everything is loaded into trucks. And I'm leaving now. And my mom was so mad at me for doing it, but my dad said, okay, have a good one. Yep. Where are you moving to? And I told him where I was going. He said, okay, sounds good. And then I called him a couple weeks later because I was confused about something because it was the first time I ever dealt with bills. Didn't answer my phone call. A couple times, actually. And then I eventually called my mom, and she answered. And I said, put dad on the phone, please, because I'm trying to talk to him about something serious. She said, your father doesn't want to talk to you. What? Yeah, your father doesn't want to talk to you.
He's busy redecorating what he calls the master bathroom.
Exactly.
I call it naked and afraid.
There's butts everywhere.
Why is there butts here? There's never been butts here before.
I never got the chance to thank my dad for that because it was a learning experience. You know, he I forced myself out on my own, but he forced me to stay there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never ran back home, which was a great thing. So I learned a lot from it.
All right, here's a secular's advice. At 19, you're a young adult and no longer a child. You hold a responsible job and, I assume, have enough savings that you can afford what you are contemplating. That your father wants to protect you is understandable because you are his child. Approach the subject by telling your parents you are considering moving out on your own and would like your father to help you select a place that is safe. Do not be confrontational. If he refuses, you can still go on looking on your own. Once you are in and settled, you can then address the subject of surprise visits. Your father is not your parole officer, and it is respectful to call before dropping by. Yeah, I feel like that's, I mean, that's solid advice, but you're kind of politicking the old man. I feel like you just have the confrontation. Look, yeah. Dad, here's the deal. I'm buying my own place. Your name's not on the lease. You know, knock on the door like everybody else.
Yeah. I was talking with my children, I think it was last week, actually, about, you know, raising children. And, you know, I was telling them, from day one, you begin this process, this journey of letting go. You know, and it's a very slow process, but you start pretty quick. I mean, pretty soon the diapers are gone and they're on their own there. You know, I mean, you just keep adding things so you get to the point where pretty soon, by the time they're 19, it should be comfortable. You know, like with my kids, I say, hey, you're welcome here. However,
I'd like you to leave.
If you leave, I got plans. That's
right. I know you guys are going to be sad. Yeah, actually, we already booked the flight, huh? I'll see you later.
Yeah, you're not part of it. You don't live here anymore.
You've been listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org. You can check out past shows, previous performance. The performance from tonight will be on the YouTube. You'll get that on the YouTube clips.
Yeah, within the next 24, 48 hours, it'll be out there.
It'll get posted to the website. You can relive the best moments of the show, which was the musical interlude. You can get those on the podcast. So if you're not subscribing to the podcast, get on that business. There's good stuff on there.
Yeah, no doubt. And tell you what, let's close the show just by talk a little bit more and getting a final song from Janet Knudsen. Just a reminder, you can pick up her EP Rotten on iTunes. I just posted a link out on our Facebook page. You can click that and you can pick that up there. Also, you can go buy it at the Java Joe's and order something from Chandra. Are you there tomorrow?
Yes.
Sweet.
Noon to 6.
Boovy, you want to go to the Java Joe's? What are you doing tomorrow?
Wait a minute, you have a six-hour gig at the Java Joe's?
No, I'm working there. I work at Java Joe's.
I totally missed the first 5 minutes of the show. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just trying to catch
the
up.
The most important.
I'll be at work from like 7 to 6.
Never mind, you're not going. Okay. I'm going. Maybe I'll go. I might stop by. All right, so anyway, you can learn more about her. She's got her Facebook page. If you go to what we like at our Life in the Path Facebook page, We Like Chandra, and you can keep up with her and see what's going on. She's got some gigs coming up at Collide. That's, what was the date of that one?
July 13th. It's at Point of Grace Church in Waukee, Iowa.
Awesome.
There's some sweet dudes there. There's a magic man that does Christian magic. Try to settle that in your mind. I've seen it. It's pretty cool, actually. He does a really good job of illustrating good biblical points out of it. But he's got wild hair. It's pretty sweet.
Huh.
Jack Swoboda's going to be there. Dang it, I said it wrong again.
Swoboda.
I never get it right. Yeah. Zach will be there. He's been on the show before. You can check out his clips on the YouTube channel.
Hey, what date is it? It's
13th, 14th.
Yeah,
right?
Don't forget about the Promised Land Fest.
I think that's 15th, 16th.
Yeah, it's 12th, 13th.
12th,
13th.
That's going to be a heck of a weekend, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's going to be an awesome weekend.
Put on your fun boy shorts and go out for a good time.
I will probably have my fun boy shorts on.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then you're going to be doing the State Fair August 13th also?
Yep. August 13th, 5 o'clock at the Bill Riley stage.
Very nice.
I was a bouncer at the Bill Riley stage.
Stud.
I was not.
I mean, it wasn't fair season. There wasn't anything going on. I kind of just stood by with my arms folded.
We're not going to go into the fact that you were a bouncer. So, yeah.
Stay out.
All right. Tell me a little bit about Set Me on Fire.
This is actually one of my newest songs. I wrote it a week or so ago, and it's basically just about sometimes we get so caught up in our own lives that we forget to, you know, pay all the glory and stuff to God, and we just kind of get consumed in our own worlds, and we kind of forget the main reason why we're here. And that had been happening with me. Like, I'd just been working, and I didn't have time for God, and I felt like I was becoming a lukewarm Christian. And so I kind of wrote this song about it, saying, like, to set me on fire for God. So,
cool. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Live from the Path. We're going to let this thing take the podcast out. Don't forget to get on Chandra's Facebook page and check out her YouTube channel so you know what's going on in her world. Pick up that EP on iTunes or at Java Joe's and enjoy Set Me on Fire. You're listening to Chandra Knudsen on Live from the Path. Thank you.
haven't been all that I could be lately. I know I've been letting you down. I am at fault for letting the world face me when I should be standing my ground. Lord, you are constant even when I am not. I've been in the wrong, yeah, I haven't been good enough. I don't want to be cold and lifeless. Lord, I want to burn for you. I don't want to be told I want your brightness. The shine on right through, so set me on fire, on fire, on fire for you, so that the entire world knows I'm for you. Set me on fire, yeah, whoa, whoa. Set me on fire. I have just stood still when I needed to move. I just watched life pass me by. But I'm ready to fulfill, not about to misuse any more of my time. Lord, you are constant even when I am not. I've been in the wrong, but that's all gone. Stop. I don't want to be cold and lifeless. Lord, I want to burn for you. I don't want to be dull. I want your brightness to shine on red through. So set me on fire, on fire, on fire for you. So that the entire world knows I'm for you. Set me on fire. Cold and lifeless. Lord, I wanna burn for you. I don't wanna be tall. I want your brightness to shine on right through. So set me on fire. Set me on fire for you. On fire, on fire. Fire for you, so that the entire world knows I'm for you. Set me on fire, on fire, on fire for you, so that the entire world knows I'm for you. Set me on fire.